Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, I hope everyone had a great weekend. And this weekend, there's going to be three separate newsletters. This first newsletter here, I'm going to be talking specifically about the world markets. Later on Sunday afternoon, Steve Nelson will be sending out a detailed analysis of the U.S. markets. And finally, later on Sunday evening, I will be sending out a third newsletter. And in that newsletter, I'll be talking about commodities, the U.S. dollar, gold, and precious metals. So let's go and get started. Again, this newsletter is on the world markets. And as you recall, last weekend I did a newsletter on the world markets as well. And normally I don't do them back to back, but as you know, last week there was a lot of selling on Thursday and Friday, lots of technical damage. And it wasn't just in U.S. markets, it affected all the world markets. And so I think it's pertinent to take a look at these charts again. And first off, if you happen to be new to Breakpoint Trades or this website, each chart item below has a corresponding number on the upper left-hand side. So that will enable you to follow along as I discuss each item. So let's get started. Item number one shows a world map with all these little red markers on it. And what these are these are the members of Breakpoint Trades. And as you can see, we have members all around the world. Obviously, most of our members are congregated in the U.S. and up into Canada, but we have a lot in Europe and some of the Middle East, quite a few in Asia, and quite a few in Australia, and then a few, of course, in South America and Africa. So I like to do these world market newsletters because we have members all over. And let's go ahead and get started. Chart number two. We're going to talk first about the U.S. markets. And chart number two is a chart of the S&P 500, so I'm going to use that as a proxy for the U.S. markets. And, as you can see, the markets bottomed last year in March, early March. The U.S. market had a strong rally up. It had a correction from June to July, as did most of the world markets. And then it had a strong rally up into the middle January time frame this year. The S&P 500 formed a bearish rising wedge with an uptrend line from the July lows, and it had negative divergence. And as you'll see below, many of the world markets had the same pattern. Anyway, the bearish rising wedge and the negative divergence finally played out. Last week, on Thursday, we had a big sell-off that broke the rising wedge. And on Friday, we followed through to the downside. So clearly, the rising wedge has broken. And it's possible that a very significant top in the market has been put into place. And the market's had a strong rally from the March time frame of last year. So at the very least, it needs some kind of pullback. But again, Steve Nelson will be discussing the U.S. markets in much more detail. On the S&P 500, you can see that it's approaching a support zone between 1080 and 1085 in that gold area. So that's a good support area. You can see that I can also draw an uptrend line from the August lows, and I can connect the September and November lows. And so, again, you got basically a support zone coming right up here. So I think at the very least we're going to get a bounce off of that area. But in my opinion, guys, an oversold bounce should form a lower high. And I think that would be a great shorting opportunity. Also, as you can see at the top, the Arun oscillator, when it goes above or below zero, that's significant. That's your buy and sell signals. The indicator gave a buy signal in late March, about 2 to 3 weeks or so after the market bottomed, which wasn't bad. It then gave a quick sell and then buy in July, so yeah, a little whipsaw. But then from July, early July, it kept you long the S&P 500 the whole time, and you can see on Friday that the Arun is now back on a sell signal. So in my opinion, that's pretty significant. But anyways, you'll see below, many of the world markets look like this S&P 500. So let's go on and move on. We'll stay in our own backyard here. So chart number three is take a look at the Toronto Exchange in Canada. And as you can see, it sports basically the same pattern. It had a bearish rising wedge, an uptrend line from the July lows, had negative divergence, and the wedge was broken to the downside on Thursday and followed through on Friday. So just like the S&P 500. Anyway, there's a support zone just below, right around 11,250. So just a little bit below, just like you've seen on the S&P 500 above. So again, just like the S&P, we'll probably have an oversold bounce soon, so will this market. And stochastics are getting a little oversold here as well. Next, chart number four is Mexico, and you can see it also sported the same bearish rising wedge pattern, negative divergence, etc. Now this broke down before the U.S. market. The U.S. market and Canada lost their uptrend wedge on Thursday. Well, this actually broke down over a week ago, so it was leading to the downside. And stochastics, you can see regular stochastics is already down to about 2 and 5 for the slow and fast, or the percent K and percent D. There's major support all the way down to around 1090, which is also around the 200-day moving average. I think over time all these indexes are going to at least test their 200-day moving averages, but it's not going straight there, guys. It's going to have an oversold bounce before it gets there. But the reason why, but also since we talked about Mexico, move on to chart number 5. This is the Mexican ETF, or Mexican ETF, EWW. And this is also on our watch list. So hopefully a few of you took advantage of this. This ETF triggered short on our watch list on Thursday when it broke the uptrend line from the July lows, and it followed through on Friday. So, so far so good. And again, this is on the watch list, and if you want to read more about it, you can go ahead. And I think if you're short, you can put a stop. If you want to have a really wide stop, well, you could put it up possibly around 50 by the just above the broken uptrend line, because I think on a oversold bounce here, I think it'll form a lower high, and then I think it'll sell off lower. So if you want to give it room, go ahead. Looks good. Moving on, chart number 6, we're going to talk about Brazil. Brazil, as you recall, last week it had a beautiful bearish rising wedge pattern here with negative divergence. Well, that wedge was broken to the downside last week strongly. And you can also see I have a wave count on this chart. You can see it clearly had a 5-wave uptrend, and wave 5 was put in early January, so it's now playing out. Over time, this I think will at least correct down to the 200-day moving average, but probably if this is a major top, it'll probably go much lower over time. I think it at least traced 50% of this whole move up from the March lows. The other thing is that we can count 5 waves up on the Brazilian stock exchange, this is a much more bullish pattern than the S&P 500 that I talked to the above. Because if you look at chart number 7, this is a weekly long-term chart of Brazil. It goes back to 2002. And again, I discussed this in detail last week. But you can also pause this audio and read my details from January 17th on the chart. The point is from a long-term perspective, Brazil is extremely bullish. It formed a primary wave top in 2008, and it bottomed in 2008, whereas most of the world markets actually bottomed in March, so the Brazil bottomed earlier. And this is potentially major wave one up from that time. The point is a pullback here, if you look at my labeling here, I think it's going to retrace quite a bit of the move up from the October 2008 lows. But I think it'll form a higher low, and this will be a wave two pullback in the very long-term perspective. But here's where that's bullish, because once that's done, I think Brazil will then rally up in a large degree wave 3, which will be marked in green brackets. That will be a mega long uptrend. The point is I think once the Brazilian market has a decent correction in 2010, and again, it could take much of 2010 to correct it, I think it'll be a major long-term buying opportunity. Okay, for a long-term perspective, Brazil is in a much more bullish position via Elliott Wave than U.S. market, or many world markets for that matter. So, again, it's not a time to buy now. Sometime on the when it pulls back and wave two is complete, that'll be the time to buy. But that's the long-term perspective on Brazil. Very bullish for the long term, but not the time to buy right now. Let it correct. Moving on, chart number 8 is the Australian index. And we have a lot of members in Australia. So as you can see, the Aussie index formed a little symmetrical triangle in blue. And late December, it broke out of that symmetrical triangle, rallied up into early January, and then it topped out. It's subsequently sold off pretty hard Thursday and Friday last week, broke the uptrend line from the July lows. And you can see there's a support uptrend line there from November. So that's a good support area. Stochastics is working its way oversold. So let's see if the Australian index can bounce off of here. Number 9, let's move on to Europe. So chart number 9 is the FTSE. This is the London Exchange. Again, just like the S&P 500, it had a bearish rising wedge. This was broken on Thursday and Friday. So this pattern is now validated. Next major support would be the uptrend line from the October lows, which is down there quite a bit. Again, over time, I think the exchange will probably at least test its 200-day moving average. So again, guys, I'm going to talk about the European markets here. But as you'll see, most of the European markets are really just following the U.S. markets, except for Russia. So that's what London looks like. Chart number 10 is the DAX, German DAX. Again, rising wedge, negative divergence, etc. You know, 200-day moving average over time will probably be tested. Nothing new. Chart number 11 is the CAC, the French index. Again, as you can see, looks just like the U.S. market, pretty much. Bearish rising wedge, negative divergence. It broke last week. Now, you can draw the uptrend line not just from the July lows, but also from the March lows. And again, you have the 200 moving average way down there, which will probably test it over time. But again, in the short term, we'll probably get some kind of oversold bounce. And resistance, guys, as you know in technical analysis, when you break an uptrend line, it becomes resistance. So if it rallies up and back tests the broken uptrend line, that would be resistance and a good area to short. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention, guys, all these charts, I put the ETF. So you can see for Germany, EWG is the ETF. On France here, EWQ is the ETF. Chart number 12 is Spain, and it also broke an uptrend line last week, and it's testing support here around 1175, support going back to September. It's probably going to get a weak oversold bounce from there, but then I think it'll sell off again, and at least the next target would be the 200-day moving average. The ETF for Spain is EWQ. Chart number 13 is Norway. Again, on Norway, you could have drawn an uptrend line from the March lows of 2009. That was actually broken early last week. And next support is that little horizontal line, and over time, the 200-day moving average. Chart number 14 is Italy. And we broke an uptrend line from the July lows. And you got nice support lower down there near the 200-day moving average. The ETF for Italy is EWI. Chart number 15 is Austria. And it just started to sell off here. Not much of an interesting, not much of a pattern otherwise, but you know, resistance is above, support is below. And the ETF is EWO. Chart number 16 is Belgium. And in Belgium, we had an uptrend line from the March 2009 lows that was broken last week. And, you know, on a route oversold bounce, that broken uptrend line should become resistance. Stochastics is getting oversold on the regular stochastics, so eventually we'll get a bounce. But otherwise, there's a lot of clean air to the next major support way down below. And chart number 17 is Switzerland, and EWT is the ETF for that. You can see we broke a nice rising wedge to the downside. And again, you can see a support level below, quite a bit below. Over time, we'll probably get to those areas if a major top has been put into place. Chart number 18 is Amsterdam. EWT is the ETF. And now Amsterdam, if you draw an uptrend line from the March lows and the July lows, we haven't really confidently broken it yet. But there is divergence here, and I think over time this will be broken. But this one's still holding on a little bit here, but it's one to watch. And chart number 19 is Russia. And Russia also corrected last week, but for now it's still holding up better than the other European indexes. And you can draw an uptrend line from the December lows, and if that's broken, it'd probably have a quick fall down to 1350. And of course, over time to the 200-day moving average. Chart number 20 is RSX. That's the Russian ETF. Basically, the pattern's the same here. Nice uptrend line here. That's holding. If that's broken, you got a pretty clean fall down to the 20 area around the 200-day moving average. Now, let's move on to Asia, and let's talk about China. Chart number 21 is CZH. That's the China Index. You can see it was in this horizontal range since the July time frame, and this one's been leading the market, the world markets, to the downside. It started selling off in early January, and it's really sold off hard here. Just broke another little uptrend line last week. It has a nice horizontal rectangle pattern here with support at 190. If this is breached, next support would be 175. But honestly, the pattern measures down to the 185 area. So that could be a target over time. And you can see it has lost the 200-day moving average. So China looks weaker than the other world markets and looks very vulnerable to me. Chart number 22 is the Shanghai Index, so another Chinese index. It had a symmetrical triangle pattern, and it broke to the downside last week. The 200-day is just below. Likely target. Chart number 23 is FXI. That's one of the Chinese ETFs. You can see it broke a little descending triangle early last week, and it's selling off here pretty good. It's now below the 200-day moving average. Next support is that horizontal line at 38. So as you can see, the Chinese markets are leading to the downside, guys. So that's something interesting to note. And chart number 24 is the Hang Seng Hong Kong ETF is EWH, and you can see it broke some support trend lines last week. However, the 200-day moving average is approaching. Stochastics are getting oversold on both the 14 and 60 period below. So I think the Hang Seng Index looks like it will probably bounce here anytime. Chart number 25 is the Nikkei. And the Nikkei, I'm not really sure how to draw this pattern. It briefly broke out to new highs in mid-January. It's pulling back here a little bit, but it's still clearly over the moving averages, etc. So it's still pretty strong. And not much of a pattern here, really. Next, chart number 26 is India, Bombay. You can see it broke a rising wedge here last week, and it, you know, there's not much support below. And over time, I think it's gonna, at least going to go down to the 15.5 area and near the 200-day moving average. And also, there's quite a few ETFs for India. IFN, INP, PNI, and EPI. That's right in the chart. Chart number 27 is Indonesia, and not much of a pattern here. It's trying to hold support on the moving average, but it's clearly got lots of support here below. So it's stronger than many of the world indexes. And IF is the ETF for that index. Chart number 28 is Malaysia. The ETF is EWM and MAY, and you can see this is a very strong index. It's had a little bit of pullback, but it's still over its 13 EMA, so this is probably the strongest world index I've seen is Malaysia. Not sure why, but it is. So lots of support below. It's very strong. Those are the ETFs for it. Chart number 29 is New Zealand, and not much of a pattern to this. It's had a pretty good sell-off, though, in January. There's maybe a little horizontal support here. But, you know, again, I wouldn't be surprised for the 200-day moving average to be tested here eventually. But Stochastics is oversold, so, you know, wouldn't be surprised for a short-term bounce. Chart number 30 is Singapore. We broke an uptrend line here from November, so it's now starting to pull back here and had negative divergence in place. And chart number 31 is South Korea. South Korea basically had a double top last week and it's pulling back here. It's still holding above its 34 moving average. And if it starts to break that area, then we'll probably have a more sizable pullback. But for now, it's still a pretty strong index. And the last chart, chart number 32, is Argentina. It's also a strong index. It has yet, you know, it's held its uptrend line. So it hasn't broken down yet. So guys, that's a nice look at the world markets. And again, all these charts have ETFs. So, again, have a great Sunday. I'm going to actually go to bed. I've been up most of Saturday night. And again, later on Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening, Steve Nelson and I will be sending out the next two newsletters. But I just wanted to get one of them to you early. Talk to you later, and have a great weekend.